Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time. You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down.
Cool, man. Me
too. Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys can get in your seats, I'm going to sing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's time to put down the babies. Put down the pepperoni.
Let's go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Game time.
Well, I'm back at you early this morning there, family. This is M.H. Scott from the Parents Coaching Parent Network. Welcome to another Blog Talk Radio Show. I know many of you probably still sleeping this time of morning, but I figure I wanted to squeeze another show in on the subject that we talked about this past Wednesday, if you had an opportunity to catch that show. But I wanted to just recap some of that information and bring some new insight and new light to what I really been able to pick up coming out of this one book. This one book is very interesting. Okay, to be perfectly honest with you, I haven't had a chance to get my hands on a copy of one yet, but from what I've read, excerpts, first chapter, and things of that nature, and other write-ups and comments and reviews of it, this book is a very serious eye-opener, parents. A very serious eye-opener. If you get a chance, and I'm not sitting here trying to promote anybody's book for any personal gains or anything like that, just to give you parents some insight and information on what is really going on or someone's perception of what is really going on with quite a few facts to back it up, and college sports. And you know if it's going on in college sports at some point in time, it trickles down to our young men in high school sports as well. And what I'm talking about the cartel, imminent fall of the NCAA. This book has really caught my attention. This article has really caught my attention. Please, friends, if you don't do anything else, take the time, sit down, look it over, read it, you know, skim through it, whatever you do to get a better understanding of this. And he's actually a investigative reporter, you know, so he's done some research and some digging into this book here. But like I said before, it has caught my attention. So I'm going to talk about it here on the Parents Coach and Parent Network, you know, and, you know, that's just hopefully with the hope that many of you will try to get a copy of it yourself and also have something to talk about with your family and friends, because that's what we're all about here. We're all about trying to share a little information with everybody else to make sure everybody has a better understanding of what's going on out there. But, you know, I can't start my show without going ahead with my man, Mr. Keith Wright. Keith, where you at?
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands and in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.
as my man Mr. Keith Wright said, he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. That's how he do it. That's how he does it. Okay. Nothing wrong with that. And, you know, you understand something. Well, what you mean that's how he do? You know, what's wrong with his grammar? That young man's up there at the University of Harvard. I'm not worried about what his grammar. I'm quite sure when he steps into the boardroom, once he graduates from Harvard, he will be just perfectly fine. Anyway, getting back around to what we were talking about. We're talking about the cartel inside the rise and imminent fall of the NCAA. And I'm not trying to say the NCAA is a bad guy and putting them down. I'm just saying that this information, this article has brought a whole lot of material to light, you know, and things that, you know, he talks about in here. And then I'm going to got a little sound clip that from the other day when he was on the radio. And I'm going to play a little bit of that just for your hopefully you'll get a better understanding and you'll get the same interest or same motivation to go out and find a copy of this here book. Okay, you know, he talks right off the bat and talks about how college athletes are not slaves. No, they're not slaves. And what is meant by that? Why is that being said? Why is that being thrown out there? And, you know, in some folks' mind, that's a very sore subject, and that is not something that's easily just thrown out there. But you have to make it real where it's real, if that makes any sense to you. You know, because if you look at the situation here, these young men, and the argument goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on for days and days, talking about, well, they're getting an education. They got an education in high school. They got an education in middle school, junior high school, elementary school. They started their education. So you're saying that they're getting an education and you're using their talent and they're using their talent. You're using their talent and they're using their talent. They're using their talent to get this education. You're using their talent to make a profit. Where's the question at? Where's the question? Okay. They're getting their education. So why are so many of them leaving these institutions, these fine institutions, and not able to find a job? But they're getting an education. If you count up the dollars that they would have made using their talent elsewhere, and that's why I think some of these kids now are doing this one-and-done thing, because if you're able to count the dollars up that they would have earned using their talent over the last 4 years, for those that stayed for the last 4 years, that would have been a pretty hefty sum. So, going back to my initial statement there, college athletes are not slaves. That's the statement made by Mr. Taylor Branch inside his book. Okay, you know, but, and they talk about they're not slaves because these institutions are making money off of the backs of these uncompensated young men. And I'm bringing a lot of information to you straight from the book. Straight from the book. You know, they're being deprived of their rights to due process, which is guaranteed by the Constitution. So that's why I bring back the point of they're not slaves. And these institutions shouldn't be in the form of a plantation. And I know that sounds kind of harsh and kind of strong, and somebody can argue and debate this all day long. No problem. I'm just letting you know what's the information that's inside this book. Again, you know, they're playing or they're providing a service and not getting paid for it. So that's what the statement comes up of them not being slaves. Because true to some degree, you may say that this is voluntary. But in order to get this education, in order to go to this institution, in order, to be a part of this team, okay, now they have to provide this service. They're providing this service, and they're not getting paid, okay? You know, and as a result, this has turned into a very, very, very ugly scandal in a lot of cases where you talk about the O.J. Mills, you talk about the Reggie Bush, you talk about the alleged situation with Cam Newton, you talk about the Terrell Pryor situation. You know, you talk about all these other different situations, and you talk about these different schools where you're talking about UConn, you're talking about Ohio State, you're talking about Miami. You know, all these different schools, USC and North Carolina, University of North Carolina, so on and so forth. I can go on and days with these different situations with these schools. At one time, Michigan was in the fold. So there isn't too many schools out there that you can actually put your finger on and say they've been exempt from any of these scandals. You know, you got a small percentage that's been involved in these scandals, but this thing seems to be going on and on. And how are we going to bring it to a halt? By having a better understanding and better knowledge of what's really going on. That way we're better able to combat it, and that way we're better able to assist and guide our young athletes, our young men, our children, parents, as I always say to you, you know, because this is a billion-dollar business going on here in sports, a billion-dollar business. It's a billion-dollar business, but yet and still, I'd be willing to bet you, no, I'm not even saying that. I'm going to say for a fact that student athletes wouldn't receive any type of workman's compensation if they got hurt on the job and wasn't able to perform and had to stay out for a long period of time. Okay, they may get some medical, but they wouldn't get any workman's comp, okay? But you think the same thing applies to the coaches? And that was my question. Do the same thing applies to the coaches and other staff? If they get hurt on the job, do they receive any type of workman's comp? Yes, they are employees of that institution, okay? Students, to some degree, are employees of an institution because they're bringing in the earning, they're bringing in the profit to that institution. So as a result, they have to be some type of employee or somewhere along the line, them terms have to cross ground, you know, and that's why the word student athlete was brought into play back in the 1950s to make sure when Mr. Byers and the committee of the NCAA, who was Mr. Byers being the first executive director of the NCAA back in 1951, and he stayed in office until 1988, I believe, over 37 years. So as a result, the word student-athlete came into play to make sure that they focused on the word student, to make sure that they're not professionals, and then athlete, to make sure that they're not just going to school and somebody's giving them a scholarship to go to school and they're not performing their athletic duties, okay? The word student-athlete came into play like that. But, you know, that's a whole nother subject. Look at the same situation. I brought this up just the other day. Look at the same situation with our young women, where, you know, they go to school and they, you know, at some point in time may become pregnant, you know, and a lot of times you don't want to think about it that way, but they are young women. They are about ready to start their family out, about to move on with their lives. So as a result, if they become pregnant, then what? You know, are they taken out of the fold? Are they forced out of school? You know, what's the deal? I've seen and heard cases where, you know, that went either way. That went either way. So as a result, you know, let's look at this picture and who is really looking out for the best interest of our children. You know, the NCAA came out and said that, you know, they started the term student-athlete for the sole purpose of making sure that our children are protected, okay? Are they protecting them, or what's really going on? Parents, that's still your responsibility to protect your children. What I'm going to do now, I'm going to set up a little clip here that I pulled off of one of the radio talk shows this past week. And as a result, I think it's very interesting. It's Mr. Taylor Branch talking with a couple of the talk show hosts and giving us some insight on this book he just came out with, or the article that he just published. Let's see if we can get this thing up and running.
By the prominent author, Taylor Branch. It is called The Cartel, Inside the Rise and Imminent Fall of the NCAA. The award-winning author, Taylor Branch, joins us this morning. Taylor, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
Taylor, we talk all the time about NCAA, and people talk about they get a free education. But when you have the president of the NCAA making $1.7 million, when you have these guys making billions of dollars off the backs of these athletes, but they want to keep saying, oh, no, they are students first, it shows how nuts they are.
Well, I'm afraid so. I went in wanting to believe otherwise. I just took this as a magazine assignment between books, but there are many shocking discoveries for me inside there that convinced me that this system not only is fundamentally unfair, but it's coming apart right before our eyes.
What was so shocking?
Well, first I had no idea that the NCAA had no authority in law, that it had that its power is largely accidental. It grew out of the fact that, believe it or not, people thought television was going to kill college sports because people would watch for free. So the schools across the country allowed the NCAA to negotiate all their early TV contracts back in the 1950s. And that created a tremendous power that lasted for a long time. But now it has come apart for a long time. The adults, all the adults in college sports revolted against the NCAA starting in the 1980s when they went all the way to the Supreme Court and said, no, the NCAA can't keep us from selling all the games we want and making all the money we want if we're adults. The only people that we insist stay amateurs are these players. And the more you get into it, the more the system is rotten.
I don't know if you just saw this story, Thomas. Bob Stoops, the head coach of Oklahoma,
yeah,
will be making close to $5 million a year as a head coach. And, Taylor, if a player is handed $25 from a booster or even gets a free T-shirt, they automatically are in violation of NCAA rules.
Not only that, but if a player like North Carolina player – last year went out to California for spring break and stayed in a friend's home, and the NCAA said he should have reported that as in-kind income. Otherwise, people would be giving in-kind inducements and suspended that player. A.J. Green was suspended for selling his own old jersey to raise money for spring break. Yeah, it's crazy. And of course, last year, at the same time, the NCAA was investigating Cam Newton. Under Armour and the NCAA, Under Armour had a $10.6 million deal with Auburn. The NCAA specified exactly where on his uniform he had to wear Under Armour logos. He had to wear 15 of them in every game, four on his helmet, one on each wristband, two on his shoes. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's basically American free enterprise as far as the adults and the institutions. And the only people who not only don't get any money, but they don't get a voice, they don't get a vote.
So how do we change this, Mr. Branch? If you have opened the house of greed and shone a light on it, where is the change going to take place, if ever?
It's coming from a number of different directions. One, there are many lawsuits working their way through the courts now that I think the most famous one is about ex-athletes filed by Ed O'Bannon,
right,
Player of the Year at UCLA, and Oscar Robertson has joined that suit, and lots of other people, because the NCAA is raising an enormous amount of money lately on video games and old film footage, which it sells to former athletes, and they don't get a share of that either.
Hey, Taylor, let me explain that. Oscar Robertson graduated from the University of Cincinnati in 1960. The NCAA has a video game with the likeness of Oscar Robertson. Not his name on the back, but it is built like him, has his number on it. The NCAA contends, oh, no, these aren't the actual players. Same thing with Tim Tebow. You don't see a bulky number 15 with John 3:16 under his eye,
right,
and who's left-handed, and not think it's Tim Tebow. But Oscar has not been to college in 50 years, but they're selling a game on his likeness and say, oh, no, you can't get a cut.
That is one. There are other suits. There are suits against the NCAA has a rule that no college can offer an athletic scholarship for more than 1 year at a time. You cannot offer an athlete a college a four-year scholarship that's guaranteed. And that rule is plainly in violation of the NCAA's tax-exempt purpose, which is to promote education through athletics. The NCAA doesn't pay these scholarships, but it has a rule that really transparently for the convenience of the coaches who can cut players and take their scholarships back and give them to other players. So there are a number of things going through the courts. Plus, I think the players are beginning to revolt. And really, underneath it all, the NCAA cannot enforce its rules already because the football schools are about to revolt in a football playoff. You know, all it can do, it used to be able to tell a school you can't even be on TV for a year, and now the most it does is vacate some old wins and ask you to bring your trophy back. So it really doesn't enforce the amateur rules already. All that's happened is that we haven't let the scales fall from our eyes, which is unfair, and it's got to be changed.
Folks, the article is a stunning article. Sure, Frank DeFord called it the most important article written about the NCAA. It is called The Cartel, Inside the Rise and Imminent Fall of the NCAA by acclaimed award-winning author Taylor Branch. Taylor, phenomenal piece. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Tom. Nice being with you.
All right.
It's
welcome.
A stunning story, Tom. Just unbelievable.
Man. All that money they're making.
I hope you had the time to listen to that, and that's you know, so very sad how that's put out there. And as you get more into this article and try to find this book, or if you find this book, a couple things I want to bring out to you, especially things that jumps out right at me in the very first chapter. You know, the name Sonny Vaccaro, and I'm not out here bad mouthing anybody and anything to that nature. I'm just bringing out some names that you need to be aware of and what their intention, what their motive, and what their drive was in the early stages of this year chaos that's currently going on in NCAA sports. You know, the Knight Commission. You know, the Knight Commission and, the Knight Commission. And, you know, Sonny Vaccaro is the guy that was responsible for pioneering that huge Michael Jordan contract back in the 80s, you know. And he stated right there in front of this commission that, you know, he had no problem, you know, based upon being able to become so involved in this year. Industry, you know, college sports, and the way he was able to become involved in this college sports industry was through these sneaker deals. So, you know, at some point in time, even in Mr. Branch's book, he identifies him as the sneaker pimp, you know. And as we know now, today, our athletes are highly focused on what type of sneakers you wear. You know, I recall, and I may be dating myself, but I recall wearing Batman sneakers or Batman tennis shoes, as we may have called them once upon a time. And Batman tennis shoes looked just similar to old Chuck Taylor's, but they had a very long tongue that came all the way up to just about to your knee. Funny looking things. But at the time, they was exciting shoes for us. You know, it was something that was different. You know, and we had a lot of different shoes out there. You know, I can go back and recall some of these other shoes out there that came out long before, you know, we have the current sneakers that's out there now or current products that's out there now. You know, where you talk about your Pro Kid, your Kid, your PF Flyers, you know, your Ponies. You know, that's when they started getting a little fancy, when they started coming out with the Ponies. And, you know, you had Adidas out there. You had the Pumas out there. You know, these are all different shoes. I don't know where these names and things came from, but these are all different shoes that was out back in the day, you know, sometime. And I did state back in the day for those folks that's interesting and trying to figure out where my dialect comes from. I'm going to be as real and as short and as sweet as possible and make sure that everyone in my audience understands exactly where I'm coming from when I'm making my statements here on the Parents Culture Parent Network. But again, if you ever want to give us a call, you can reach us at 646-929-2416, 646-929-2416. Get a chance, pick up this article, check it out. There's some very interesting things in here You know, they're talking about some things that's going to bring a whole lot of things to light. If any questions you may have had at some point in time about college sports and the NCAA, and I'm telling you, I may be talking about this more and more over the next couple of weeks or so, and you may get tired of me talking about this, because the more and more I try to dig into it, I'm going to seriously push and try to work hard as far as trying to get Mr. Branch on with us. You know, that would just totally excite me if I can get Mr. Branch on with us and just sit and answer some questions. I would hope that you would blow up the phone lines that day. We're able to have Mr. Branch on with us and just sit and talk about some things, you know, because parents, you need to have an understanding of the college sports industry. The college sports industry. I'm telling you, it's an industry that is booming. It's an industry that our kids, as student athletes, our children are heavily involved in, and it needs to be, I would say, it needs to be adjusted to some degree. It needs to be adjusted to some degree. You know, the questions out there as far as, you know, should student athletes get paid? Well, if they get paid or if they get compensated, you know, depends. You know, it depends. You know, they can get some type of compensation without saying, okay, they are paid players. Okay, you know, if they stay 1 year, okay, hey, their compensation is even less. If they stay all 4 years, then their compensation may be more. How would you know? At the end of the day. At the end of the day. You know, if they stay 1 year, decide they want to leave, okay, if their grades become ineligible, that terminates all that. See, you got a whole lot of things a whole lot of factors that you can add in there to keep our kids going. Because at some point in time, this has to be addressed. It has to be addressed. I'm not going to let that statement off the hook. I'm just going to flat out say it has to be addressed. And why shouldn't that argument, that conversation, that topic start here with us as parents? Parents, your awareness, your involvement, your engagement, your active pursuit of what's right or what's going to best benefit your child is the big difference, the big impact that's going to turn this thing over. If you sit back and wait for it to happen, you're going to miss the train. You know, so parents, on that note, I'm going to get ready to close out here. I know it's been a very early day for those of you who had the opportunity to get up and listen to us this morning, and we truly appreciate it here on the Parents Coach and Parent Network. But as always, my man Keith Wright brings it to us each and every day, and I'm proud of this young man as well as the young men at the opening of opening up the show. That's a countdown, courtesy of the University of Virginia. But in all, at the end of the day, parents, we have a part. We must play that part. We must be actively engaged in this resolution. If you're not engaged, you're going to miss out, parents. So on that note, Parents Coach and Parents Network say we thank you.